Very good job. If you would take your hymn books with me. I'm so used to saying hymn books. Take your Bibles with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. We're going to read down to verse number 15. With all of the snow and everything that we've got this week, I did not give Miss Joyce any notes for the back of your bulletin. So I'll put some things up on the screen you'd be able to write down and follow along with, and we'll be able to get it all together. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. No, it's Valentine's Day. Anybody get any good Valentine's gifts? Yeah? Got some new glasses. So she can see you. I don't think that's a gift. Oh. A lot of times we think about Valentine's Day and we talk about things of the heart, and we're going to do that again this morning. Talking about Valentine's gifts, I got Morgan yesterday. We do our Valentine's Day on the night that we do the teen banquet. So I brought in Noemia's Valentine's stuff, and I brought Morgan in a flower, a nice pink flower, and some candy. And Gabe wanted to know where his Valentine was. So that's he loves candy, cake. I mean, we had cake downstairs for just a couple of weeks ago. Brother Ray. And we found Gabe snuck off away from me, and just before the service, he was trying to get into the birthday cake downstairs. He doesn't know the difference between birthday cake and birthday yet, so anytime he sees cake, he thinks it's his birthday. And he thinks that he should be the first one that's allowed into the birthday cake. So has nothing to do with what we're talking about this morning, but it's just 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, we're going to start reading together verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. That's our youth department theme verse. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse number 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Verse 15, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. This is one of my favorite stories. I love to read about the nation of Israel as they went through the wilderness wanderings and all. That's one of my favorite times. I like to read about all of the miracles that God did and all the things that these children of Israel saw as they wandered through the wilderness. And this is a New Testament story about what happened in the Old Testament. So we get it twice. This morning, though, I want to focus in. We'll talk a bit about this story. But that last verse, verse number 15, says, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. So for just a few minutes this morning, I want to speak on the subject of wise men judge what God says. So many times working with the teenagers, I hear, well, Brother Andy, you're not supposed to judge, or the Bible says not to judge. And they take some verses in the Bible out of context and say, judge not. But they don't realize the next two verses. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you again. It doesn't say don't judge. It says let's judge the way that we want to be judged, because we are going to be judged. In fact, if we weren't supposed to judge, then there wouldn't be a whole book in the Bible that teaches us how to judge. Any one of you teenagers want to guess what book that is? Austin, I think even you might be able to get this one. Judges. You're the man, buddy. A whole book in the Bible that teaches us how to judge properly. But, you know, Brother Andy, you can't judge a book by its cover. I disagree. I when I open my Bible, I expect to find my Bible, not a Betty Crocker cookbook. You know, when you open a Field and Stream magazine, you don't expect to find Home and Garden. You can judge what's on the inside by what's on the outside, because what's on the inside affects what's on the outside. But the Bible tells us here that we are to judge ye what I say. Now, I don't want to be foolish this morning, and I don't want you to be foolish either. And God help me not to be foolish this morning and to preach and teach something that I don't judge and see if it's true in my own life also. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. You know, there's no word or no phrase or anything in the Bible that is incidental or accidental. Every word in our Bible is there for a reason, and every word is there for a purpose. And the word judge is used here in this verse. Judge what God says. What does a judge do? A judge gathers all the facts and the evidence. And then a judge listens to all of the witnesses. And then a judge makes a judicious decision relative to the truth. And that's what a judge does. And the Bible says that that's what we are supposed to do. So first of all, we're going to look at the evidence here. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. And there's some evidence that's given to us. If we are going to judge, then we need to know what the evidence is. Start with me in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the clouds and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Do we pray? We pray yet? Let's pray. Father, bless our time this morning. Help us to see what your word has for us. We love you. We ask it in your name. Amen. This passage here, this first part, there's some evidence that's given to us that we need to see. Every time through this passage here, you're going to find through these first five verses one main theme in this evidence. And that theme is the ignorance of rebellion. That's the first thing I want us to look at this morning, the ignorance of rebellion. Through this first five verses, there's a word that's repeated several different times, and each time in my Bible I have it circled so that I'll be able to see who it's talking about here. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. All of these people experienced the same thing. We are talking about here the nation of Israel. They saw all of the miracles that God did through Moses, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the Bible says even though all of these people saw all of the great things that God did for them, the next verse there in verse number 5 says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Well, who is the many that we're talking about here? All of them saw all the miracles, but who is the many? Each one of these people that's involved in the many were a part of the all. All of them saw all of the miracles that God did through Moses. Who were they talking about? The ones who stood at the Red Sea and saw Moses lift up the rod and saw the waters stand up wide enough for 3 million plus Jews to be able to cross on dry ground. All of them saw the cloud that covered them. The Bible says here that they were baptized. That word baptized is used there. If you look at it there in verse number one, and how all our fathers that were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized there in verse 2, unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Covered. Baptized. A lot of people believe that, you know, you can be sprinkled or you can be poured or you can be immersed and it doesn't matter. Well, every example in the Bible talks about immersion. Here, these people were immersed. They were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, which means they had the pillars of water on either side. They had the cloud over the top of them. If you were to fly over that, what was it that they were going through there in the Red Sea and to try to look down and to find where these Jews were, you wouldn't be able to see them. Because they were immersed. They were protected. They were God's chosen people that were moving through here. These people, this all, they all saw God do that miracle. They all walked through the Red Sea and they all turned around and they all saw Pharaoh and the Egyptian army coming to kill them, take them back into captivity to have a battle. They all saw the wheels fall off the chariots. They all saw the pillars of water come crashing down and surround Pharaoh. And the Bible says that God told the nation of Israel that they would no more deal with Pharaoh forever. God took care of the nation of Egypt and the lives of these Israelites forever. All of them saw it. They were all there. They all walked across on dry ground. They all saw the miracles of God. They all saw the manna provided every day. I wonder where they thought that came from the first morning they came out. And saw these little manna cakes. Angel food, the Bible says. Wonder where they saw that. What they thought. You know, they didn't have to go out and hoard it all up and gather it up and put it in the back corner of the house and protect it for a week and store it up. God provided every single day. How amazing to see God provide. Can you imagine not having any food every day and going to your front door and opening up the front door every morning and finding the groceries you need for that day? That's what happened with the nation of Israel. And God still blessed them, even when they complained about the manna and said, "Ah, we don't want that. We've had it so much, we're about sick of it. Don't want to eat it anymore." Even though they complained, and even though they griped and they grumbled and complained against God, God said, "Okay, well, I'll do something else for you. I'll send you meat." And He sent the quails. Even though they complained, God still performed a miracle. Even though they complained and even though they rebelled against God, God still blessed them. And they all saw that. They all saw the miracles that God did. They all saw God provide water. Middle of the desert, they come to the brook of Marah, bitter. Moses took that wood, representation of the cross, threw it into that bitter water, into the bitter water of our lives, and made that water pure and drinkable. They all saw it. They all saw when they were in the middle of the desert and needed water again, and there was none. And Moses took his staff and struck the rock. And God poured rivers of water out, enough for all of those millions of Jews to be able to drink. They saw it happen again. And even though Moses rebelled and Moses sinned and he struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to it, the rock representing Jesus Christ, who was only struck once, crucified and died for our sins one time, and that's all we have to accept Him. But Moses sinned. Israel's complaining. Moses is mad. Moses strikes the rock. Even though all these things are happening and the sin and the rebellion against God, God still provided for His children. Water out of the rock. They saw all of these miracles. They saw the blessings. They saw the provision. They saw the protection. They saw the miracles. But some of them rebelled. How ignorant is it for them to rebel against God after seeing all that they saw? And all of us have seen God's blessing in our life. We've seen God provide financially for our church. We've seen how this building here, God provided. Those of you that were here when we built this building a few years ago, don't owe a penny on it. God provided miraculously. He's doing it now. Getting ready to build a gymnasium. He's providing. Even now, God provides for all of our needs. And we see God do all of these things in our lives, but some will still ignorantly rebel against God. How ignorant for these people to rebel against God after they saw so many miracles. That's why Paul turns around and says, "Hey, don't be ignorant. These rebels aren't people from the outside coming into the nation of Israel. These aren't the world coming into the church and rebelling. This is God's own people. Hey, don't be ignorant. It's not the world that rebels against God. It's us." We see the miracles. We see what God does. And still, we rebel. The Bible says God wasn't pleased. I wonder how many of us that God would say this morning, He's not pleased with us. Wise men judge what God says. That's the evidence. Judge it in your life. Are you one of those? Are you one of the all? If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you've seen at least one miracle, and that was God transforming your heart, being born again. You've at least seen one. Are you a part of the all? Are you a part of the many? Judge for yourself. Where are you in your life? That's the evidence. It's plain. It's clear. It's simple. The evidence is that there's ignorance and rebellion. Then we go down through verse number 6. Verse number 6, we'll pick up reading down through verse number 11. Now these things, where are, what's the next word? Examples. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed to the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed to the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for, what's the next word? Ensamples or examples. There's the word example again. For they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. You see, we've got the evidence, which is ignorance and rebellion. And then we have examples that are given to us. And that's the intent of the record. We have this record that is given to us. And most people would say, well, Brother Andy, that's Old Testament. And, you know, God divided the Bible into Old Testament and New Testament. And God worked through the nation of Israel differently than He does through us as Christians today. And people were saved differently in the Old Testament. By the way, that's not in the Bible anywhere. We're all saved the same way. That's looking forward in the Old Testament to Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross. Just as much as you have to have faith to look backwards to the cross of Jesus Christ today. Every person who will be in heaven will be saved the exact same way. But here, these people will say, Old Testament, that really doesn't apply to me, you know, whatever. But the intent of the record is to show us that we can hear these witnesses in the Old Testament and know that the God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God in the Old Testament as He is today. He hasn't changed. Culture has changed. Well, God doesn't understand the way things are today. Well, God probably has a little bit better clue than any one of us has on how things are today, seeing that He's God. But what God judged then, He'll still judge today. What God judged then, He can still judge today. What displeased God then still displeases Him today. And what God does in this judgment, in this courtroom setting, is He brings some witnesses in to give testimony against these ignorant rebels. What are the testimonies that He brings in? What are the witnesses that are brought in? Well, they're given to us there in our verse. The witnesses here given to us. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were. Neither let us commit fornication. Neither let us tempt Christ. Neither murmur ye. He brought in their witnesses. What did they do? He brought in their sins against them. He brought in the testimony that was against these ignorant rebels to show where they were. When we look at it, most of us would say, idolatry? I'm pretty okay there. I don't have a statue of Buddha or a statue of Mary, or I don't get down and bow down and worship any of those things. But how many things do we put before God in our life every day? A little extra sleep instead of getting up and spending time walking with God? How many times do we skip church for this excuse, that excuse, or the other? We don't witness to somebody because of, well, I don't want to push my religion on them, or I don't want to... How many times do we put things before God? But most of us would look and say, idolatry, I'm okay there. I don't bow down and worship anything. I'm pretty good there. Then they look at the next one and say, fornication. Pretty good there. Fornication, a sexual sin. I've cheated on my spouse. I don't look at pornography. I don't mess around. I'm pretty good there. Even though Jesus Christ said to look on a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery with her in your heart already. But most of us, we'd say, adultery, fornication, I'm okay. Then we get down to neither let us tempt Christ. And most of us would say, I don't even know what that is. So I'll put that one aside, even though, not quite sure, even though that's sinning willfully. All of us do that. But we'd say, okay, well. Then we get down to verse 10, neither murmur. And that hits every single one of us. Murmuring. Miriam did it against Moses. God turned her into a leper as soon as she started murmuring. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram came up to Moses and said, Moses, you take too much on you. Don't you know? Hey, God doesn't just speak through you. You know, God can use me too. And there are people who say that today. No, Moses, it's all right, man. It would just... You think you're too big. You know, I know God chose you to lead us, but, you know, you're not all that. We may not come out and say those words, but how many times do we think, the preacher's just talking. That doesn't apply to me. Take too much on you, Moses. And what happened to them? The Bible says that the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, their homes, their families, and those that ran with them, and swallowed them up straight to hell. God takes this murmuring thing really serious. God killed several thousand Israelites with a plague because of murmuring, complaining, and criticizing. The intent of the record is this. God is displeased with our murmuring today just as much as He was with Korah, Dathan, Abiram, Miriam, and the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. He looks at it the same today. Wise men judge what God says. Wise men judge themselves so God doesn't have to. A judge gathers and looks at all the evidence, which is the ignorance of rebellion. A judge listens to all the witnesses that are brought in, the intent of the record, and he listens to the record of these people and calls them to the witness stand. Then, a judge makes a judicious decision. Verses 12 down through 15. I want you to look at those with me. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The idolatry from which to flee. The idolatry from which to flee. Or to run. To get away from it. We may think that just because we sin and get by with it for a little while, that God's not going to judge us and we can get by with it because judgment didn't fall immediately. Like it did with Miriam, who God says, that's it. You touched my man, boom, you got leprosy. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, step up, guys. Come on, step up. Bring it up here. I want you to come right here with your incense. Open up, swallow them straight into hell. God judged things in the Bible many times instantaneously. As soon as they sinned, God did. You know, if God did that to us today, I think we'd probably live a little bit different. If every time you told a lie, God gave you leprosy, every single one of us would be lepers. If every time we murmured and complained and griped, God smote us with something or caused some horrible circumstance in our life, you think we'd learn real quick? My son Gabe, I love the boy to death. He's the strongest willed boy I've ever met in my life. And right now his big thing is if he wants to do something, he's going to come and ask you with the intent that you're going to say yes no matter what. And if you say no, he'll stomp his foot, give you this look and say, never! And he runs so you can't catch him. And you know what? As soon as he does that, we've got to run after him and catch him and discipline him so that he links the two together. We don't act this way. Kind of like when you train a dog. When you train a dog and work with a dog, you have to discipline it. You reward it immediately so that it's right in front of its eyes. It keeps the two things linked together in its mind. But us, God gives us time. God gives us enough rope to hang ourselves and lets us get away with what looks like get away with sin for a little while in our life. Letting us get out here and He just sits back and watches. We can get away with the sin. But God's given us a chance to judge our own selves and our own lives and to say, willingly turn to me. I want you to come to me because you love me, not because I've got to beat you. I don't want to have to bring circumstances and trials and problems into your life to draw you back to me, Christian, son, daughter. I want you to come because you love me. Come on. And if we wait too long, then God has to do things in our life to spank us, so to speak. We didn't get away with it. If we got away with it, then the Bible's not true because the Bible says, be sure your sin will what? Yeah. The idolatry from which to flee. All those things given to us. Things that we're supposed to run from, to get away from. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Temptation is there. We're confronted with it. What does the Bible say? Flee. Get away. Take off. Get out of there. But the Bible also gives us a couple things that we can do here. The first is, take heed. Listen. We got to flee from the idolatry, But we need to know what it is. You better take heed. He says, hey, listen up. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm kind of thick-headed sometimes, and God's got to shake me up a little bit to get my attention. And he's clapping his hands and saying, hey, listen, 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 take heed, take heed. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying, because all of you are prone to these sins, God says, myself included. There's not one of us who's too good to fall into any sin, except for the grace of God. When we get to that point where we say, I'll never do that. I'll never fall into that kind of a sin. We open that door for Satan to bring the temptation in there. I know a young man I went to, it was in our youth department when I was a teenager. A bunch of us boys were sitting around talking, and he came up very arrogantly and said, I'll never, we were talking about a sin. You know, we were having a Bible study on Thursday night and said, I'll never. Next year, the boy went to Bible college and was kicked out of Bible college for the very same thing he said he'd never do. As soon as we say, I'll never fall into that, the door is wide open. Take heed. You never get to the place, Christian, where you're free from all sin. You've come to that point in your life where nothing's going to get me anymore. I have arrived where we've totally conquered sin. Because the fact of the matter is, we're going to fight our old sin nature until the day that we go to heaven one day. So God says, hey, take heed. Listen up. Pay attention. Take heed. Then he also says, there's no temptation taking you. He says, yeah, I want you to take heed, but I also want you to take heart. There's no temptation that's come to you that nobody else has faced. Jesus Christ faced all temptation. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus said, hey, I don't want you to feel like you're alone. Even I was faced with this, but I didn't give in. And neither do you. You don't have to. You don't have to sin. Yes, we're all prone to it. But take heart. There can be victory. God made a way of escape for us. He says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Everybody faces these. There's nothing special about you. You're not dealing with worse things than everybody else. You may be dealing with them in a different way, but all of us face all of these sins. It's common temptation has taken you. It's common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He says, I'm not going to put more on you, more temptation than what you can turn down. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He says, yes, temptation is going to come to do wrong. It's going to be there. You're going to face it. It's going to happen in every area of your life. But I promise you this, there's a back door you can get out. There's always a way to escape. None of us ever have to sin. Like the little kid said, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't make you do it. We all choose to sin because we have a choice to make. It's common. We're faced with it. He won't put too much on us. And he always makes a way of escape. So take heed. Yeah, listen up, but take heart. You can have victory. You can walk away. You can flee. You can run. And if taking heart doesn't work for you and taking heed doesn't work, then take flight. Take flight. Flee from it. The Bible says there, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Get away from it. Joseph was faced with temptation. Joseph left both of his coats. Remember one when he was a boy, lost his coat, and then he left his coat in Potiphar's wife's house. Yeah, Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his honor. He kept his purity. He kept his integrity because he took flight. He ran. Whatever the sin is, we can flee. That's what the wise judge says. When you're confronted, when sinners entice thee, as Proverbs says, consent thou not. You can always get away. You can always turn and run. There's always a way to escape. Take flight. When the gossip comes your way, someone comes to gossip to you, take flight. Don't listen to it. Get away from it. When fornication, the temptation comes, flee, run. Idolatry comes, flee, run. When the murmuring comes, flee, run. The wise men judge what God says. So judge it in your life. How you doing so far? Is there some rebellion? Ignorantly rebelling against what you've seen and what you know? What do the witnesses say? The intent of the record, it was written for us so we can see. What do the witnesses say about you? Have you fallen? and the idolatry from which to flee. Take heed. We can all be guilty. Take heart. We can't all win. And if nothing else, take flight. Flee from idolatry. That's what the wise judge says. The wise judge says, let me examine my own life. Let me judge myself. Let me see if I can take care of it before God has to deal with me. Judge yourself. How'd you do? If we're all honest, we'd all say, man, I've got work to do. All of us. That's what the wise judge says. That's what the wise child of God says about the Word of God. Wise men judge what God says. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much. You've blessed us so greatly. We've all seen Your blessings. We've all seen You doing miraculous things. You've worked a miracle in our own heart and our lives, drawing us back to You. But Lord, we all do sin. We're all confronted with temptation. But thank You, Lord, for making a way for us to get out of it, a way to escape, that we don't have to sin. We don't have to fall. You love us so much that You made a way of escape for us. Help us to take that escape route, that back door, that escape hatch when we're tempted, because all of us are going to be tempted. And Lord, help us to look at our own life and to be wise Christians, to judge our own life against Your Word. Before we lift our heads or before we open our eyes, I want you to judge your own life in light of what we've talked about this morning. The ignorance of rebellion, the intent of the record written for us with the witnesses speaking out, and the idolatry from which to flee, taking heed, taking heart, taking flight. If you're here this morning and you've never taken that first step and trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we can help you with that. If you're here and you say, Brother Andy, I know for sure if something happened to me on my way home from church today, I am 100% sure, no question, no doubt, no nothing. I know for sure if I close my eyes in death today, I'd open them before Jesus Christ. I know without a shadow of doubt I go to heaven when I die. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up as a testimony? Nobody's looking around, and I appreciate your honesty, lifting your hands. Thank you. You can put them down. Not every hand was raised, and I do appreciate your honesty as well. If you're here this morning and say, Brother Andy, I do not know that for sure. If something happened to me on my way home from church tonight, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. But if I could know that, that's something that I would want to know. If that's you, would you just look up at me? I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you in any way. But I'd like to pray for you. If that's you, would you like to know that for sure? Would you like to, sweetheart, know for sure that you'd go to heaven when you die? Anybody else, Brother Andy? I'm not sure. How about it, sweetheart? Would you like to know? Very good. What we're going to do is this. The two young ladies, would you look right here at me? What we're going to do is this. Nobody else is looking around. Just you looking at me and me looking at you and God looking at us both. When we stand, everybody's going to keep their head bowed and their eyes closed. No one's going to be looking around. The lady at the piano is going to begin to play a verse of invitation. Everyone's going to be standing. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. What I want you to do is just slip to the front. We'll have a lady take you. From the Bible, show you how you can know for sure that you can go to heaven when you die. The Bible says that you can know. And we want to help you with that. As soon as we stand, I want you to make your way towards me, okay? And we'll have a lady take your Bible and show you. Thank you. You can bow your heads and close your eyes again. How about it, Christian? How'd you make out in that judgment department? Did you judge your own life? Did you find some places that there are some shortfalls? No, I have. Let's all stand and heads bowed, eyes closed as you stand together. Julie.